and acts according to his whims, attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Text 24. Tasmach chastram pramanam te karya karya vyavastitau yadva shastram vidhanoktam karma kartum iharhasi. Translation. One should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he may gradually be elevated. Chapter 17, text 1. Arjuna uvacha ye shastrim udim uvacha yachante shadayan vitaha tesham nishta tuka krishna sattvam aho rajastamaha. Translation. Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the destination of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? Text 2. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Trividha Bhavati Shuddha Dehinam Sa Swabhavaja Sattiki Rajasi Chaiva Tamasi Chetitam Shunu. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance. Now hear about this. Text 3. Sattvanarupa Sarvasya Shraddha Bhavati Bharata Shraddha Mayoyam Purusho Yo Yach Shraddha Eva Saha. Translation. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has required. And finally, text 4. Yajante sattvika devam yaksha raksham sirajasaha pretam putakamangs chanye yajante tamasajanaha. Translation. Men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship the demons. And those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. Going back to text 18. Bewildered by false ego strength, pride, lust, and anger, the demons become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in their own bodies and in the bodies of others, and blaspheme against the real religion. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A demoniac person, being always against God's supremacy, does not like to believe in the scriptures. He is envious of both the scriptures and the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is caused by his so-called prestige and his accumulation of wealth and strength. He does not know that the present life is a preparation for the next life. Not knowing this, he is actually envious of his own self as well as of others. He commits violence on other bodies and on his own. He does not care for the supreme control of the Personality of Godhead because he has no knowledge. Being envious of the scriptures and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he puts forward false arguments against the existence of God and denies the scriptural authority. He thinks himself independent and powerful in every action. He thinks that since no one can equal him in strength, power, or wealth, he can act in any way and no one can stop him. If he has an enemy who might check the advancement of his sensual activities, he makes plans to cut him down by his own power. Well, this demoniac tendency based on envy. The envy begins with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he's the ultimate controller. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Ishvara Parama. So the ultimate controller is Krishna. And in order to rebel against that control, he rebels against the ultimate. Just like if someone is against the way things are running in a country, he's against the government because the government's the ultimate authority, and therefore there's revolution. It's like every culture has revolutions. And so the living entity also has this tendency to revolt against the Supreme Lord because of envy. Envy is not a proper, it's not a healthy tendency, but if the living entity wants, he can also get that. And as soon as that envy comes in, then it is said in the Shastras that as soon as he becomes envious of Krishna, Krishna hana bhogavanchakare nikatastha mayatare japatiyadhare, then he has to leave the spiritual world. He's slapped into the material world by the material energy. And once he gets here, it's not that his envy is satisfied, that now I was envious of the Supreme Lord, now I have my own situation. No, because actually his envy is of everyone, and even himself. He's even envious of his own self. In other words, he's just, he's basically out of order. He's not working properly. He doesn't even know what's in his best interest. So he works against others. He works against the Lord. Everyone's a competitor according to his idea, whatever he thinks. And one day the person may be a competitor. The next day he may be a friend. So, it doesn't make any sense. It's all mental concoction. Text 19. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are perpetually cast into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. So, you can say that the Lord has the last laugh. He gives freedom to the living entities to rebel against him and to be envious of him, but then he puts them into lower species. He perpetually casts them down. You can't blame God for this. That why is he so cruel to do that? No, it's good for them because it will teach them a lesson. They will go through all these different species of life, and of course, it's part of their desire too to experience these different kinds of horrible things. Horrible to us, but to him, when he's in that particular body, he's thinking it's very nice. So the Lord is kind even to the demons, because even when they're put down in these lower species, they get some pleasure. Who can say that any species of life doesn't find some pleasure? The birds get some pleasure in flying. The squirrels get some pleasure running up and down the trees and finding walnuts. They're getting insects' pleasure. All the species have the opportunity. So, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending is a source of pleasure for all creatures. And the Lord arranges for that. But they don't get the supreme pleasure. This is inferior pleasure. And you can also say that persons living in the prison, they're allowed to have some pleasure. If you go to prison, you see they have sports. They have different types of pastimes and enjoyments. It's not considered a very high level type of pleasure because they're incarcerated, and it's not very friendly. There's guns, you know, the wardens have guns, and so it's a bit of a tense situation. But there's some pleasure there. They're eating, they're living, they're... So no one can blame God that He's unkind to the living entities. No, He provides for them in all circumstances. And the proof is that at any point along the way, even if the living entity is in hell, there's also a hellish place. Even if he's in hell and he decides, now I want to surrender to Krishna, then he can surrender immediately and he'll be free from that. Because Yamaraj has instructions he learned with the situation of Ajamil. As soon as Ajamil chanted the name of Narayan, he became free from all of his sins. So if a person in hell happens to chant, he remembers the Harinam party in the plaza, and he chants out Hare Krishna, then he's free from all suffering just by that chanting one time. Continuing, text 20, attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demoniac life, O son of Kunti, such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. So the Lord has a perfect arrangement for enforcement. It's not that he just enacts some laws and then he can't enforce them. No, he can enforce them. He has unlimited power to, and he does enforce them. And that's part of his greatness, that if you don't follow his instructions, then he will enforce his law. And his law is fair, it's completely just, and he is a well-wisher of all the living entities, suridam sarva-bhutanam. He wants to help them. But if they reject misusing their independence and they're very arrogant, and of course that's what we're reading here about their tendencies. Their tendencies are that even if you give them something nice, they will act in a very unfriendly way. You try, just like a snake. A snake is considered a very envious animal because even if you feed it nice bananas and milk and you think, I'll make the snake my friend, no, he'll turn around and bite you right after he drinks the milk. Other animals can be tamed. Even the lion can be tamed. But the... this snake can be tamed, but generally not. There is a way by mantras and by herbs you can tame the snake. But an envious man can never be tamed. So this is the envious man. The cruel man, he's always angry and he's always envious against Krishna. Even though Krishna is his best well-wisher, his friend, and even though he's supplying him everything, we shouldn't be surprised then to find that there are some demoniac people in this world. There are. Sometimes people say, well, everybody's nice. Everyone is... Let's try to see everyone as sweet and nice. But you can't do that because not everyone is sweet. Not every... thing that shines is gold. Everything, not everything that glitters is gold. And there's not a pearl in every oyster. And not everyone is nice. There are demoniac persons. And to call a spade is just practical. If someone is against the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or is against the scriptures, then that person has a demoniac tendency. He's envious. And he shouldn't be considered to be equal with those who do have faith in the Lord and who do follow his instructions. They're completely different. Text 21. There are three gates leading to this hell: lust, anger, and greed. Every sane man should give these up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. This is the major problem of the people in Kali Yuga, especially in the present day, is that they're cultivating very carefully lust, anger, and greed. They're increasing it more and more, and they're imposing it upon others through mass media. And they even institute it. It's like the biggest movie now is some horrible thing, some very perverted type of murdering, mass murder. And people like to see these things. And they're selling all the newspapers. The biggest headlines every day is, you know, how many, the next one, the serial killer killed, and how many people were blown up in this thing. And people like to, you know, they're cultivating this mood of destruction, this mood of anger and greed. Then you have to buy, they want you to buy a new car every year. Well, no one needs a new car every year. But they're encouraging the greed. Take more than you need. A car can last, if you take care of it, at least 10, 15 years, no problem. But no, new one every year. Don't be satisfied. So lust, we don't even need to speak about how they're encouraging lust at every moment. Anger and greed. So where is the destination, according to Krishna? You're going, naraka syedam. Naraka means hell. Trividam, three kinds, three gates. Now, we, as long as we're in the material world, we're also going along. We're being swept away. Michimaya rabose jachobe sikacho habudububai. We're being swept away by these three tendencies because the general populace, this is what they do. And so either you're against it or you're part of it. You can't remain neutral. How can you remain neutral? How will you do nothing? You can try to go off alone and live by yourself and associate not with it. Now, people may try this, but it's not very practical. Generally speaking, if we live in this world, we become influenced. So the best thing is to give up that association of the demoniac person, the demoniac civilization, and live with the devotees and associate with the devotees of the Lord. This is intelligence. And this is, because if we don't make that choice, it means we prefer to stay with the non-devotees. And then we have to remain in the material world, birth after birth, with non-devotees. Whereas, if we choose, I want to associate with devotees, I want to associate with the Lord, then we are qualified to go back to the spiritual world and live with the peaceful people. Text 22. The man who has escaped these three gates of hell, O son of Kunti, performs acts conducive to self-realization and thus gradually attains the supreme destination. How to get free from lust? Oh, brahmacharya. This brahmacharya ashram is meant for that. Not only brahmacharya ashram. Of course, it begins with brahmacharya. But then the next day, grihastha ashram. In our grihastha, that means householder ashram. They're also restricted. They're called grihastha brahmachari because they only have sex for producing children once in a month. So it's not even a great deal of sense gratification in that regard, at least according to the materialistic idea. Because they think that sex is just for pleasure. They've forgotten that its real purpose. In fact, they're thinking sex is for pleasure, it's not for procreation. That's why they have so many different contraceptive methods. Because they don't want to procreate. They want to use it just the opposite of the way it's supposed to be used. Actually, it's only for procreation. So, on the other hand, the devotees, or persons who act according to the principles of the scriptures, they act for self-realization, and they're free from this hellish condition, and they attain the supreme destination. Text 23, he who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. When you tell someone, in the scriptures it says we're not supposed to eat meat, and he says, I don't care what the scriptures say. Then he will not attain perfection, he won't be happy, and he won't attain the supreme destination. That's his free will. And another person, if you tell him, then he says, yes, I want to please the Lord. I don't want to act in opposition to the Lord. I don't want to give up scriptural injunctions. It's described there's two types of persons. There's the demons and the devotees. And the devotees, they're the ones who follow the instructions of the Lord. Although they're criticized by the demons. The demons make jokes about them. That, look at them. They're not having a good time like us. We're having a great time. But they also suffer. It's like recently there was a big group having a good time in nightclub and they were blown up. So they also, they get their suffering is coming. Text 24. One should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that they may gradually be elevated. So that he may... it's considered very out of fashion to follow scriptures. You're considered basically some kind of a strange bird if you think that scriptures are meant to be followed. I mentioned this before. I know in the group that I was associating with, I never ever can recall even mentioning the word God amongst all my friends. It was just, you did not speak about it. And if you said anything such as, should we follow scripture? It was unheard of. You would probably be rejected from the group by saying such a thing. This is on all levels. Practically speaking, even in the religious, they don't really follow. They simply give some lip service. They say we believe in this and that, but in terms of actually following, no. It's not. But if we don't follow, if we don't take it literally, scriptures are to be taken literally, not as allegory or something like that. They're to be followed exactly. Just like a map. Is a map to be followed, generally? Well, I have a map, but I don't really refer to it very much. Oh, if you have to follow it implicitly. When someone's using a map, he goes, no, now turn right. Now here you turn left, and no, right there. If you miss your turn, then you're wasting your time and energy. So scriptures are like that. They're a map. How to go back to the spiritual world. And we have to follow them implicitly. every turn, every rule, every regulation. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that in the beginning, first of all, one should be encouraged to become attracted to Krishna, somehow or other get attraction to Krishna. And then, yena tena pakarena manakrishnena shevayat sarva vidhi nishedha sur etayor eva kinkra. Later on, all the rules and regulations can be introduced. In the beginning, it's not so important that someone has to follow every rule and regulation. Let them chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada used to encourage the new people, just chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. And even they were still smoking, and after the programs and so many things they were doing. But he didn't impose immediately all these rules and regulations. But gradually, as they become attracted more to Krishna, they become purified, then they want to follow. Following rules and regulations is an indication of someone who's making advancement. He likes. He wants to do things properly that will please. Because these rules and regulations, what are they? They're not just arbitrary. They're actually meant to help us please Krishna. And when we please Krishna, we are happy. So by following these rules and regulations, they just make sense. It's like no eating meat. It's a rule, you can say it's a regulation, but it's also practical. It's sensible. It's healthy. It's so many things. Saves one from karmic reactions. Seeing the form of the Lord. This is a regulation. We should see the deity. We should come and bow before the Lord. Well, this is very nice. We feel good when we bow down, because that means our heart's getting pure. When we enjoy the principles of devotional service, all the different aspects, that means we're making advancement. If you like chanting, if you like hearing the scriptures, you like taking prasadam, you like associating with devotees, you like going on sankirtan, you're making advancement. You're on your way back to Godhead. And if you like going to the nightclubs and you like eating in the fast food places, you like watching television, you're going to hell. You're on the fast track to the hellish worlds. Well, we have to make that choice. Next text, next chapter, chapter 17. Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of Scripture, but worship according to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? And the Supreme Personality of Godhead replies in text 2, according to the modes of nature acquired by the embodied soul, one's faith can be of three kinds, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now hear about this. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. And 4, men in the mode of goodness worship the demigods, those in the mode of passion worship the demons, those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. So that means that Vedic culture is helpful, because people are advised in Vedic culture to ultimately worship the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. But not everyone is able to follow that immediately, because some people are impelled by kama, by lusty desires. And when they're impelled by kama, they want material things. So in order to get that, they don't want to worship Krishna because they're afraid that he'll take away all their material things. So they prefer to worship the demigods, because the demigods give them the material things without imposing something spiritual on them. When one worships a demigod, he makes some puja or some sacrifice or whatever. According to the Vedas, some ritual, gives some charity. Then the demigod's pleased, and the demigod rewards him with material benefits. For example, in the scriptures it says that one who wants money, good bank balance, should worship the Vasus. There are 8 Vasus. Vasu means money. So you worship the Vasus and they give you money. Or if one wants beautiful wife, then he worships Apsara. Her name is, one particular one is recommended. She is the chief of the society women, Urvashi. So Urvashi is recommended. You worship Urvashi and you'll get a very beautiful wife. If you want strong body, you worship the horizon. You worship, if you want good health, get free from bad health, you worship the sun god. And he gives you these things. You want... So people want these things, and they want them quickly. And that's all they want. So they worship the demigods, and they get them. And when they get them, they become happy. They think, this is very good. This is a good program. I wanted it, and I got it. And that's why they don't want to give up worshiping demigods. You go to India, you'll see. Not even India, even here. When the Indians come, they don't like to give up worshiping demigods. Because they're getting something. And it's mode of goodness, more or less. Again, it's not perfectly, but here even Krishna says that those in the mode of goodness worship demigods. There's different levels. For example, worship of Brahma and worship of Ganesh. These are more mode of goodness. Because they attract people who are more in the mode of goodness. But then there's also worship of certain demigods that attracts those in the mode of ignorance. For example, Lord Shiva is very attractive to those in the mode of ignorance. You'll find that Lord Shiva is becoming very, very popular. They like worshiping Shiva because he's known as Bhutanath. He's the lord of all the lower levels. Still, they're within the Vedic culture and they're better off than those who worship just ordinary demons because they're still worshiping Lord Shiva and he's a great personality, a great devotee. Whereas those in the mode of passion who are a step lower, they don't even care about the demigods. They just worship, you know, Hitler or Mussolini or Hussein or Bush or whoever. Some materialistic person who's not a demigod, who's not a devotee of the Lord, and who only has impure motivation. So by worshiping them, they're in the mode of passion. And why do they worship them? Because they want sense gratification. But then even lower than that are those who worship ghosts and spirits. Some black magic there, or they want to black rituals, and they try to associate with Satan. Was it Satan worship has become a big thing? They worship some evil spirits and they're always thinking to do evil. So goodness, passion, and ignorance, and there's all different levels in each category. Thousands of different categories, and there's thousands of different types of worship, but they may be categorized into these 3 broad categories. Any questions? The question is it possible to not worship anyone or anything? Well, what would he do? Generally, people, they also worship themselves. Goes in the mirror, looks in the mirror for hours. Decorating. Huh? What does it mean when you go to the fashion store? It's like we decorate the deity. Nice dress, nice jewelry, nice flowers. And if we go and we spend all of our time and energy decorating this body, trying to make it very beautiful. It means we're worshiping this body. Or decorating someone else's body. Or meditating on someone else's body. That means worship. It's like if I'm always thinking about some particular person and I'm meditating on their body. Whether it's one person or a whole group, it's like one sex meditates on the bodies of the other sex. That's worship. Or if he's worshiping his penny. It's said even a pauper is proud of his penny. He worships his penny. Or the alcoholic worships liquor. For him, the ultimate is liquor. And the drug addict worships his heroin. So everybody's worshiping something according to the modes of material nature. Someone worships his dog. Someone worships a football player. Passion. Well, like you say, it's a combination. Passion and ignorance. Worshipping spirits. Yeah, combination. Ignorance and passion. That's mostly what's going on in the world today, is ignorance and passion. Not much goodness. Is this regarding the... Okay, let's see if there's any questions about... Yes. Question is... Excuse me? It's okay. So, the question is that there are worshippers of some modern day religions are coming from bona fide systems that became deviated. And so are there others also? All of them. All of the modern, they all have come from originally the pure Vedic culture, and gradually, by diminishing, by giving up this, giving up that, a little bit here, a little bit there, before you know it, it ends up where you have very little substance left. But yes, just like, for example, the sons of Yayati, they were bona fide Vedic Kshatriyas, and they were sent out of Bharatvarsha, and they went out, and so consequently, in the beginning, people were strictly following, but gradually, as they were separated, they began to deviate. Just like we see, not only in Krishna consciousness, but even from the time of Lord Jesus, we see at that time his initial followers were very, very devoted, very devout, and gradually over time, because this is Kali Yuga, things deteriorate, and even something very good can become corrupted. That's not surprising. The question is, what is a devotee's position? If he's engaged in spiritual activities and sometimes demoniac activity. But the devotee doesn't engage in demoniac. He doesn't engage in such activity. He keeps them far away. He stays far away from those activities. Oh, you mean, even if one commits most abominable activities, he's considered saintly. That refers to an accidental fall down due to his past conditioning. And Prabhupada gives the example of a person that has taken to devotional service, but he used to smoke. So now he's given it up in earnest, but then some situation comes up where he comes in contact with other people who are smoking, and he falls back into his old habit. But then afterwards, he realizes this mistake, and he rectifies himself, and he again engages in devotional service. So he's not to be considered for an accidental fall down. Now, if it becomes a regular thing that every day at a certain time he falls down, then that's not accidental anymore. That's premeditated, planned, organized. But the accidental fall down is not held against a person once it may happen. but it shouldn't continue to happen. See the point, the difference? One is, you're saying he commits some abominable activity. He may be forgiven for that. Krishna doesn't hold it against him if he's engaged in devotional service. But if he does it regularly, then it's not accidental anymore. And then that's not, then he won't be making any advancement. And Krishna also loses, you know, is not so much interested. This person's not very serious. He's not sincere. They're getting so much, the question is, someone's following a particular faith and he's making progress. Yes, but how can you compare the progress that one makes in some other process compared to the advancement one makes in direct, in pure devotional service? Even at best, the processes are lacking quite a bit of knowledge. Even if you become a pious man, that's good, but Krishna consciousness is beyond piety. It's pure love of Krishna. If you don't know, for example, people are following their particular tradition, but they don't know what God looks like. And as soon as you find out what God looks like, naturally you'll want to worship God. But how will you worship God if you go back to your church and start putting pictures of Krishna and statues of Krishna and worshiping? You may be thrown out. So therefore, you'll naturally go to associate with those who have higher knowledge and higher realization. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki jai.